Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Welcome in a Friday edition of the Gym Class, wrapping up another week and starting us 4-hour block of local programming right now, 3 to 7 o'clock. It's your local talk shows, Gym Class right now, followed by the Todd Bromkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Mark Dukes with you today, alongside Kyle Mann, typically our producer, but our first guy off the bench when Scott Unash is out. Scott, preparing to watch his eldest son get married tomorrow.
Same age as me, actually. It's kind of weird.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
So you know Ryan?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Congratulations to Ryan.
And Scott and Christy and whatnot. It's a big moment in their lives, and wish them well this weekend. Jackson, our producer today, to take any and all phone calls, 319-366-1600. That's also our Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line. Feel free to weigh in at any point. Good show for you today. Jeremiah Davis is going to bring us up to date the latest on auto racing here in the next 10 minutes. And then we're going to discuss and invite your comments about a situation that happened yesterday in Detroit when Albert Pujols homered and registered his 2,000th career RBI. And the fan who retrieved the ball refused to give it up. A lot of comments, and perhaps you have some as well. We're going to get to that later on. Right now, one afternoon game in the major leagues, and it's a dandy at Wrigley Field. The Milwaukee Brewers taking on the NL Central leading Chicago Cubs. Both teams red hot. The Cubs winning 10 out of 11. And you can't see this, obviously, because it's radio, but I made the executive decision to allow Kyle Mann to watch his favorite team.
You did turn that on.
I did turn that on.
I thought so. I thought it must have been left on from before you
walked
in here.
I'm being nice to you.
Thank you so
and
much.
And Todd, I'm sure, will appreciate it when he comes in to do his show. Todd's usually so focused, he has a hard time watching the game, but... Right now, I think it's 1-0 Brewers, right? Right.
Yeah. Wind's blowing in, and early in the first couple of innings, you could tell, and the announcers were saying, you know, the wind's going to knock everything down. But I think in the second or third inning, man, Ryan Braun just clubbed one. It was right off the bat. You know, the wind is not knocking that down. So
good pitching duo, Quintana for the Cubs, Gonzalez for the Brewers, and these teams obviously will meet throughout the weekend. In fact, we'll have Sunday night's game. The capper of the series right here on KGYM Radio. Sunday night game. I know John Lester's going for the Cubs. And, Kyle, I've got to tip my hat to the Cubs. I really do. I know you're a Cub fan. You've got to feel as good about the Cubs as I do about my Twins right now.
Yeah. I mean, you probably feel even a little bit better because maybe I'm still just being a little bit too skeptical. But, you know, I was saying on Todd's show yesterday, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, when the Cubs were sitting at 2-7 and really struggling, I put out a Sports View really just roasting this whole pitching staff. And pretty much since then, they've done remarkable. And I don't know, I'm still a little bit worried if it's going to be sustainable, especially the bullpen in particular. But yeah, you're right. For now, the pitching, if it's going to look like this, then yeah, I feel really good about the Cubs.
Well, Montgomery came back yesterday in relief of, wasn't it in relief of Yu Darvish?
Yep.
And Darvish has been, throwing a lot of pitches and whatnot. It still was a Cub win. And some folks, it was the Marlins. And the Cubs won 3 out of 4. Guess what? You gotta beat those teams.
You beat the teams in front of you.
Like the Twins played the Orioles not so long ago. And, you know, you don't want to split with that team. You want 3 out of 4 at the very least, which is what the Cubs did. And now... they enter a series with Milwaukee, as we talked about just now, and you also have Pittsburgh at St. Louis tonight. So a lot of things could or may happen in the National League Central in the next couple, 3 days.
Yeah, yeah. This is, you know, obviously reminds me of that Cubs-Cardinals series last weekend. We're doing it again here with, you know, the Brewers right up there. And, you know, we knew the NL Central was going to be competitive and close, you know, for most of the season. And it has played out exactly like that early in the season. And that's created some really, really juicy series.
The Gym Class sponsored today and every day by Third Base Brewery on the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue. Just like KGYM, Third Base is locally owned and operated, a place where families meet up again and again. Great for a quick lunch, catch a game after work, or bring the family for an affordable and delicious meal. Thanks, as always, to Third Base Brewery, again, on the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. And we'll also have another opportunity today for you to cash in on one of the many great prizes, over $1,000 worth of prizes in Race to Win. That coming up after we talk with Jeremiah Davis. I know the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn gave away a watch yesterday, right?
Yep, the watch is off the board.
So there's 26 of 30 squares remaining in our Race to Win, which is kind of like concentration or memory. Keep track of the squares, try to match them up, and won some of the great prizes. Still on the board, 6 general admission passes to the Indy 500 coming up May 26th. 4 tickets to Peter Frampton at the McGrath Amphitheater coming up in July. 4 tickets to see the Minnesota Twins and the Oakland Athletics, that also in July. Many, many other prizes still on the board. So stay tuned at the bottom of the hour, towards the bottom of the hour, for your chance to win Race to Win. And depending on whether we are fortunate to give away one of the prizes, Todd and Alex will, or Todd and you actually, Alex out of town,
yep,
will offer 1 or 2 chances to win on Race to Win. I don't know. I like the Cubs. I like you, I didn't like them early on, but you know what? St. Louis is good. Milwaukee is good. This division, I mean, Pittsburgh's what, 6 back? I mean, if Pittsburgh can do anything against St. Louis, I don't have a lot of confidence in the Pirates, but I think this is going to be a good 3-team race.
I think you're exactly right. And you're spending, I feel like I need to send this back your way. You're giving so much love to my favorite team. The Twins have, let's see if this is still accurate, one of the biggest division leads in the entire league. What has, we talked to Phil Miller yesterday on Todd's show, and I thought of a question sort of afterwards, and thought it would have been a good one to toss at him. I felt like the Twins over the offseason did one of the better jobs right there with the Phillies of addressing certain needs and getting things that they really needed, like Nelson Cruz, Jonathan Scope. Among the additions that the Twins made over the offseason, what do you think has made the biggest difference?
Pitching. I think that was the biggest question mark coming in. Barrios has been good. Odorizzi has been really good. The last 3 or 4 starts, he goes tonight against the Tigers. Gibson has been good. Martin Perez has been a revelation. He's 5-0. I mean, if the Twins can continue to pitch anywhere close to what they're doing right now, they're going to win this division. And we're not quite at the quarter pole, so I'm getting, you know, my skis ahead of me here a little bit, but I'm encouraged by what I see. You know, Cleveland's missing Kluber for all or part of the season. That's not good for the Indians. I don't think anybody else in the division can really compete with Minnesota and Cleveland at this point. But you're right. Nelson Cruz has been really good. Eddie Rosario leading the American League in home runs. Who would have figured that? I don't expect him to keep up that pace. But Byron Buxton is off to a pretty solid start, and he leads the league in doubles. Tremendous defender in center field. And, you know, you don't even have Miguel Sano. Marwin Gonzalez was a good pickup as well, an experienced guy who's been in the postseason. Got off to a slow start, but he's coming on a little bit. Mitch Garver, who played here in Cedar Rapids, and Castro at the catching position have lended some offense. Willems Astudillo, he's hurt right now, but he's a great, fun player to watch. And I really like the composition of the team right now.
It sounds like a lot of those were names that have been on that team for a long time and are just playing a lot better than they have. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, the Cubs spent all offseason sitting on their hands, and even going back a couple years and even into, you know, when they were struggling mid-season last year, Theo Epstein, and, you know, they're kind of dropping hints that, you know, we're hoping our best additions are going to be our guys starting to play like we want them to. And that's happened to some degree, but not nearly to the degree that it has for the Twins.
I know a lot of Cub fans were down on Jason Hayward, but he's having a very start to the start to the season.
Yeah.
And Javi Baez, what can you say about him? He's a terrific hitter, and Rizzo and Brian are starting to come on. We'll see what Addison Russell does. I think Contreras, the catcher, has a hell of an arm. It's a very good Cub lineup that got off to a slow start, had to play a lot of games on the road early on, and now 1-10 of 11, although right now the Brewers have taken a 2-0 lead at Wrigley Field.
Do you remember when the Pecota rankings came out and the Cubs were so low, and a big part of it was defense and in particular pitch framing? You remember that being a thing?
Yes.
I saw a stat recently. I love Wilson Contreras. He's personally my second favorite player behind on the team behind Javi. I find him to be exciting. He's a good hitter. He's hitting over 300 right now. But I saw a stat just the other day, as of a couple days ago, he was second to last among eligible catchers in pitch framing. And I kind of got to thinking, because Taylor Davis has been catching Yu Darvish, which was, you know, why is Taylor Davis all of a sudden earning, you know, personal catcher status for Yu Darvish? And it kind of occurred to me that Darvish, his stuff moves so much. You know, not everything he throws is breaking, but pretty much everything, and it breaks a lot. And it kind of occurred to me just while I was driving to Mulligan's yesterday that if you got a guy who cannot, you know, he's not only like not good at it, but he's bad at framing pitches. Mm-hmm. You can't have him behind the plate with a guy like Darvish, because you need somebody who can make those bendy pitches look as good as they possibly can. And so that was kind of a splash of cold water in my face for Wilson Contreras. But, you know, I still like him.
Yeah. We're going to take a break here and get to an interview that Scott Unash recorded with Jeremiah Davis a short time ago. He's going to bring you up to date on the latest in auto racing. Right now, we've got a couple notifications on the text line that there's an accident on Highway 30 at the Kirkwood exit, slowing traffic on both sides. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll hear that interview with Jeremiah Davis. And then later on, we'll talk about the fan who wouldn't give it up.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Now it starts at noon, and you just need to call by 11:30 to enter. The entry fee is $30, and there are no green fees. Plus, all entries are returned. Play is on a Stableford format, which gives every golfer a chance to win, regardless of ability. There will be team, individual, and skin winners. The Wednesday game is the best game in town, and it's only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blairs Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Today and every Friday, the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. Tune in from 4 to 7 today right here on KGYM. Two Rivers Bank and Trust. My neighborhood, my bank.
The home teams continue to roll. as the Warriors win Game 5 against the Rockets. Can Houston force a Game 7?
Tonight, starting at 7:30 on The Gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Back in the gym class, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Very happy to welcome aboard our Eastern Iowa auto racing man, Jeremiah Davis, who joins us here each week throughout the spring and the summer. You can give him a follow at JeremiahDavis10 and then also follow the InsideTrackJD.com. And despite the rain, Jeremiah, it's been it's the start of the racing season. So, you know, there's a little little extra skipping everybody's step around here, right?
You bet. You know, it's always fun this time of year to see everybody's new wraps and the new cars and stuff. They haven't torn them all up yet and all that stuff. But it's also that time of year where, like today, it's raining. And I know the R word is a curse word at the racetrack, but it's just something you have to deal with. It's been frustrating, but there's been a little racing that they've been able to get in, a few tracks, been able to dodge it.
Yep,
so it's just frustrating this time of year, you know?
Yeah, it is, and it is very frustrating. Vint was rained out last week. Independence had to put their opener on hold. It's really impacted a lot of the dirt tracks, I know. Hawkeye Downs did get their opener in last Friday night, so it's just kind of a hit-and-miss situation.
For sure. I wasn't able to be at the Hawkeye Downs opener. Unfortunately, I was out of town. But from everything I heard, it was the rain affected the track just a little bit.
Yeah.
There were some weepers left over, and as a result, there were a few spins that you wouldn't normally have seen. I know my buddy Casey Korsmo wanted to blame the weepers on a couple of them, but I got to give him a hard time.
Well, you know, and that's a good place to start is Hawkeye Downs, I guess, and got their 94th season underway last Friday. And, you talk about legends, and they had, I think, 20 legend cars there, several drivers out of Minnesota, and that class just keeps growing and growing, and almost you can say now it is it's almost the feature group out there.
Well, I think you have to say that at Hawkeye Downs, especially given the fact that the late models are dwindling, I guess is the best way to put it, and unfortunately lost another one on Friday night. I know Brian will be back, but Brian Gibson, who had a fairly heavy wreck from
yep.
the pictures I saw anyway. You know, it's the legend car class, though, has always been one of my favorites, dating back to when I started covering racing there when I moved here in 2013. The class is always competitive. There's always been 15 to 20 cars, and there's a fair amount of parity in the class. It's not the same guy winning every single week. I know there were some bouts of some more dominant drivers. You look at Brady Foxrode, he had a nice little run. Kevin Korsmo is always really strong. And then, you know, cycle through, Brody Willett had a nice little run for a little bit. But for the most part, it's not one guy that wins every single week. And I think that's great both from a fan perspective, but also from a class perspective, because it invites new people to want to join that class. You know, it's hard. You know, let's take late models, for example. You know, when there's one guy or maybe two guys who have more means than another, and I'm not picking on Griffin McGrath or anybody like that, but classes like that tend to breed more spending. And when a guy feels outspent, they don't want to go to the racetrack because they'll feel like they have any hope. The legend car class isn't quite to that point yet. You know, we're racers. We push the envelope. We spend as much as we can to go fast. But I feel like the legend car class, because of INEX's rules and the package they have, kind of limits that just a touch. And you can make a car fast. You don't necessarily have to spend it fast.
Yeah.
And that's a huge deal. And it opens it up to so many people, similar to the hobby stock class out of Hawkeye Downs.
Yeah. Brody Willett did take the late model win after Brian Gibson did have his pretty big impact into the turn one wall. And Brody's big eight driver, as we all know. Big Eights are going to be there at the end of this month, so a couple out-of-town guys, and I think more will probably be rolling in here in the next couple of weeks to just get acclimated with the track and whatnot, but that's always a fun race, the Clash at the Downs.
Can't wait for it. I love that race every single year. There's been fireworks pretty much every year at that event, except for maybe last year. Poor Caleb Adrian knows what I'm talking about in that regard. Now, Brody's an interesting case. You know, this is going to be his third year racing in the Big Eight Series, and he has yet to win a feature. And now you know that, one, the kid's hungry. He's very talented, and he wants to win really bad, period. But to win at his home track for his first Big Eight win obviously would be a huge deal to him. I know that, I mean, he's got the aspirations, I guess, for bigger and better things, and this is where it's got to start. I think this is sort of I don't want to call it a make or break year for him, because he's the kid still in high school.
Yes.
But in order for him to ascend to that level that he really wants to be when it comes to being in late models, he's got to win at this level first, and I think this is the year where we're probably going to see that happen. That would be my prediction.
Yeah. Before we leave Hawkeye Downs, the other big news was that good to see Modifieds back. There weren't a whole lot of them, but the guys that were there had a good time, said they would come back. More are coming, the way it sounds, and they're on the quarter mile, and it was neat to see Modifieds back out there.
That's the biggest reason I wish I could have been there for opening night. The first year, I believe it was the first year I covered Hawkeye Downs, was the last year for full-time Modified racing. I want to say that was 2014, but I could be wrong. I get my year
right.
All blend together.
That's
now.
That's right.
Either way, I love the idea. I hope it plays out the way that the idea was put in place. You just don't know until you get all the way through the year. And Hawkeye Downs had to do something to kind of reach out to some new racers. I think I've said on the show before, and I've said in plenty of different places before, that I'm very rarely a proponent of adding classes. I'm a minimalist when it comes to the racetrack. I want two or three or four at most classes each night. But if this brings some new people to the track and it doesn't slow the show down, then by all means, throw whatever at the wall you can and see what sticks.
Yeah. Jeremiah Davis joining us here, talking racing with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. And getting to the dirt now, a few have gotten, most everyone has gotten their openers in. There have been a few specials out there. I know you were at Marshalltown a few weeks back anyway, and tell you what, Marshalltown is probably doing as well as anybody around here as far as car counts are concerned.
You know, you look at both their grandstands and their car counts, and they're sort of the exception to the rule in racing, period, right now. Lots of places are struggling. You know, payouts are dipping, this and that. The stands aren't always full. You know, in several tracks around here, it's that way. But Marshalltown, the racing they produce is almost second to none. I don't know that there's a better racing track in Iowa for dirt. And I'll include Knoxville Raceway in that, because while Knoxville has the history and stuff, and it has the prestige, and it has sprint cars, there's not the same style of racing. You know, every racing fan can watch a race, especially stock cars, at Marshalltown and be entertained. And honestly, I think Marshalltown is the test case for improve the racing and people show up, both racers and fans. It's not just about what goes on outside the track, you know, in terms of amenities and concessions and things like that. If you have a good product on the racetrack, the people will show up. It's sort of the Field of Dreams phrasing, right? If you build it, they will come. Well, if you have the right style of racing, people are going to show up. Because, I mean, how does it get much better than, you know, the last – pretty much every stock car feature they've had this year, and I've seen, you know, you've seen a replay on Speed Shift TV, and it's just been riveting. You know, whether it's Kyle Brown winning that Frostbuster after Damon Murdy came from almost last, and Jay Schmidt actually came from last, they were both second and third. The style of racing, the competitiveness, the number of really quality cars that show up in Marshalltown, I don't think anybody can match it in Eastern Iowa. And really anywhere in Iowa. Maybe there's, you know, you can we can sit down and break it down, but man, they just, Ricky Thornton Jr. races there all the time. Tim Ward races there all the time. These are guys who can win nationally, and they're racing there weekly. It's so much fun to watch racing there.
It is, and they got things started kind of here as Eastern Iowa is concerned. Independence got started last week. The Olsons did their thing up there. I think a 1-2 up there. So nothing's not a whole lot has changed, I guess, at Independence to start things off.
You know, it was, speaking of Team Olson, they had a really nice night as a group. I want to give a shout-out to Russ Olson, Tony's older brother. He got his first ever win in a micro mod on Saturday night. And I don't, if anybody's friends with the Olson group on Facebook, you saw they have a tradition in their little camp that you get sprayed with fire extinguishers. Now it's the water in them, not an actual, you know, fire extinguisher. But he got back to the pit area, and Randy and Tony were there to greet him with fire extinguisher spray. And that was really it was a really cool little moment to see, because he's been – one of the unsung heroes of that little group. He helped Caden Reynolds, which is Tony's nephew, get started. And Caden finished third in the hobby stock, and then Tony and Kyle were 1-2 in sport mods. So they had a really nice little night for that group, and I know they celebrated with another one. I think I think Tony won on Sunday at Vinton as well. So it was a nice little weekend for Team Olson.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And did get the Deary Brothers Summer Series underway a couple weeks back. I was there at Tipton International that night. for a great little track. And the king of Cedar County won it again.
Oh, man.
Fifth straight for Justin Kai. And he had pretty much a blanket on everybody.
You know, he might as well put his name on the sign outside Cedar County Raceway, because – I think he's won five straight.
Yep.
Dating back to a couple years, the big events they've had there, and I think he has several modified wins there as well in the recent years. It's incredible to watch how just he has the place covered. It doesn't matter who his crew chief is. It doesn't matter what car he's in. He knows how to get around that place. And I mean, what more can you say about him in a late model, right? The he won at Marshalltown the other night too. I've written about him, and I've spoken about him so many times in the last 5 years. I don't have any new words, I don't think, to describe how good he is at these racetracks. But Tipton is his home base. If he doesn't win there, either somebody did a Herculean effort or he had some issue. Because from everything I heard, it was everybody was racing for second at that Deary opener.
Yeah, it was, and it was great to see Rookie doing a very good job with Dalton Simonson from Fairfax, moving up to the late models this year, and he had a heat win, and didn't do as well in the feature, I know, as he would have liked, but still, he's going to race that series full-time this year, the way it sounds.
Yes, he is. Dalton's a great kid. He was actually one of my drivers to watch a few years ago, heading into the season when he was still on Sport Mod. And he bought that late model from Danny Ekrich, and I don't know if he did it on purpose, but his race car just looks exactly like Denny's did, just with a 60 instead of a 50. I got kind of a kick out of that because the cars look so similar. And I know he's been with Precision Performance and been a loyal customer of theirs for a long time, but it's just cool to see somebody move up into that class again. It's been a few years since we've seen, it used to be, it was a tiered system, right? You went from modified to the late model. Late model was the premier division, especially in Eastern Iowa. And the last few years, people have been jumping ship back to modified. So it's refreshing to see somebody still see that as the ultimate goal, see a late model as the place that they want to be the most. And, all the success in the world, I hope he does well in that class, because it's a lot of money to spend. You got to, getting something out of it is a nice little bonus.
Yeah, very much so. And a couple other things before we let you go this week. Number one, it was we don't like to have bad weather hit or anything like that, but, severe weather or anything like that. But the Bobby Pierce tornado went through Iowa this past weekend. only thing that kept him from going for four in a row was the rain out at Davenport on Friday night. But one at Stewart, one at West Liberty, and then went over to Quincy on on Sunday or Monday and won.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the last time he was at Davenport, he won, if I remember correctly. A couple weeks ago, they had a half mile, didn't they?
Oh, he got close. He didn't win it, but he got close.
Okay. Either way, that young man is, I want to call him the future of late mile racing on a national level. I know there's a lot of other guys that are involved and they're going to be around for a long time, but there's not a ton that are young like he is. You know, he's still in his 20s, and it doesn't seem like he has these big NASCAR dreams like a lot of kids his age. And if nothing else, he doesn't have a huge sponsor that's making him go that route. You know, 'cause I feel like Christopher Bell, for example, he could race sprint cars the rest of his life and be content.
Yep.
But he's got sponsors and big people behind him that need him in NASCAR. And Bobby Pierce, as long as he's in a late model, the sport has eyes on it. And I think that's hugely important, especially around here, for him to come back and race MLRA, which is not a national series, it's just a regional series, is a big boost to the racetracks. And, you know, him winning, it tells you how talented he is, because he doesn't race over here all that often.
No, and we're in the month of May now, and NASCAR will concentrate on Charlotte next couple of weeks, and of course Indianapolis on the IndyCar series, and sounds like they're going to have four or five cars bumped in Indianapolis this year. We got to get you over there so you can experience all that, but May is great for racing.
Oh, it's the best month of racing, except for maybe you could maybe put August on there around here with August, September, and that stretch in Iowa with Super Nationals and Knoxville Nationals, but the month of May, it's hard to beat. And I guess I have a question for you.
Yes.
When it comes to Indianapolis, how do you feel about, are you having PTSD, I guess, from the Roger Penske and Chip Ganassi talking about guaranteed entries, which is caused the split 20, 30 years ago? Well, how do you feel about that as my IndyCar guy?
No way. I'm with everybody else. Absolutely not. You deserve, if you're one of the best 33 cars, you get in. If you're not, you go home. I mean, that's just the way it is. I understand where they're coming from, and if anybody should come from this, it probably should be Schmidt.
Right.
With Hinchcliffe missing it last year. And,
sure.
You know, Penske's missed it in 95. Ganassi's never missed it, so, you know, it's the economics. I can see where they're coming from, but I don't think they're – I just – reading about it and what the folks in Indianapolis especially have to say about it, I don't think this is ever going to happen.
I'm with you 100%. I think two races should be exempt from all those rules, the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500. If you're not fast enough to make the race in the two biggest races in this country, then you shouldn't be on the grid.
That's right.
It's a reality of it. Yeah, James Hinchcliffe was devastated last year, but did you hear him complain?
No.
No. It's the name of the game. You're either good enough or you aren't. And I love that about the Indy 500. And in all reality, it shouldn't come down to that. It shouldn't. If you're a good enough team like that in today's day and age, those four or five extra teams are just hoping that their car makes the race.
Yeah.
You know, that it's good enough to finish the race, let alone compete. So if you're not fast enough to make the Indy 500 field as one of the top tier teams, then shame on you. You shouldn't get bailed out. But that's just my opinion on that.
That's a you problem.
That's right.
That's not our problem. That's your problem. Oh, I agree.
Exactly.
All right, Jeremiah, appreciate it. Keep up the great work. We'll see you at the track, man.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more after this here on KGYM.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit. But when it comes to choosing the right material for your next deck, look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex Decking delivers the look of wood without all the work and the worry. So make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
Find Trex Decking at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander. Visit either location in Iowa City.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer, all the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
As soon as we're back out in our yard, yep, we get company.
Dandelions, lurking crabgrass, and weak, thin grass. But Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action takes care of them all. Now, with one bag, you can kill weeds, prevent crabgrass for up to 4 months, and feed for greener grass. Triple Action, so your lawn thrives, guaranteed. Only from Scott's.
Weeds aren't welcome here.
This is a Scott's yard. Pick up a bag of Scott's Triple Action today.
A Sport Clips Championship haircut experience makes you feel like your hair has its own walk-up music. Maybe you play sports. Maybe you play sports online. Or maybe your sport is keeping up with your kids. Your hair deserves its own walk-up music. And at Sport Clips, we make it easy. A game-changing cut from a stylist trained for guys while you're surrounded by sports. Hair this good needs no introduction, but you'll want one anyway. So download the app, check in, and get your hair in the game.
After an off day, the Twins are back at it tonight as they open up a homestand of the first of a three-game, four-day series against the Detroit Tigers. Hi, this is Corey Provis. Your first-place Twins are playing tonight on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight starting at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Race to win.
Yes, it's that time. During a gym class, where you will have an opportunity to win one of our many great prizes on Race to Win. Right now, Jackson, our producer, caller number 6. Jackson, caller 6. I mentioned traffic update. We'll get our contestant on here in a second. Talk to you about, or warned you about the problem on Highway 30 at the Kirkwood exit. There's an accident there. It's slow on both sides. And then within the last couple hours, the Iowa City Police Department reports that Gilbert Street is currently blocked in both directions just north of Benton Street due to a minor train derailment and will be for quite some time. So please find an alternate route if you're in that vicinity. And Jackson lining up our contestant for a Race to Win. Right now, Wrigley Field 3-0, bottom of the seventh inning. The Cubs had our runners first and second, nobody out. Jason Hayward hit a hard grounder up the middle, but the shift was on, and it was a double play. Addison Russell followed with a double. So right now, two outs, and the Cubs with runners on second and third, trailing 3-0. So, of course, those two teams play tomorrow and Sunday. And a reminder, we'll have Sunday night's game right here on KGYM. In the American Rivers Conference Baseball Tournament, number one seed Co. went down 4-0 a short time ago to Buena Vista. Buena Vista, the number two seed. So Co. will try to battle back in the double elimination tournament right out at Vets Memorial Stadium. The Co-Hawks will play 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. That's redundant, isn't it? God, Mark. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning and try to bounce back and prevail in this tournament. So, again, our next contestant in Race to Win being lined up right now by Jackson, our producer. And we'll play that game and then get into a bit of a discussion about what you would do if you caught a historic baseball as one fan did in Detroit last night. So we'll bring that to you. As Corey Provis mentioned, Twins baseball on tonight, 7 p.m. Twins and Tigers get after it. Doubleheader tomorrow, and we'll have both games of that split doubleheader here on KGYM, and then Sunday's game as well. Also tonight, 7:30, 1600, and 106.3, we'll have Game 6, Golden State and Houston without Kevin Durant. How are we doing on our contestant, Kyle?
Good. We got him on the line right now. It's going to be Mike.
Let's bring Mike in. Mike, you ready to play Race to Win?
I sure am, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well. Do you know how the game's played?
I do.
You've been following along?
Yes.
Okay. We have 26 squares remaining out of our 30, which means 13 prizes. What is your first number, Mike?
My son says the number I want is number 8.
8. Okay, Kyle.
A $50 gift card from Austad's Golf, Cedar Rapids.
You hear that, Mike?
No.
That's a $50 gift card to Austad's Golf. That's square 8.
Not what it was supposed to be.
Uh-oh.
Well, how about number 18?
18, is that available, Kyle?
A $50 gift card to the Hawkeye Convenience Store. All locations.
Well, you're partially right, Mike, but appreciate you playing along and opening up a couple other squares.
All righty, thank you.
You bet. Thanks, Mike. All right, no winner there. A couple opportunities on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up. And again, four numbers off the board, but 13 great prizes remaining. And we hope to get into the bigger ones, the Indy 500 tickets and the Twins tickets very soon here. I know one of the squares for each of those prizes has been revealed. I don't know about the other one quite yet. All right, Kyle, and listeners, did you hear what happened yesterday afternoon in Detroit?
I saw it. I saw it.
Albert Pujols hit a third-inning home run at Detroit for the Angels, which represented his 2,000th RBI in his career, joining the very select company that includes Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, A-Rod. A gentleman named Eli Hides, a 33-year-old law student from Detroit, retrieved the ball in the outfield stands. And per Major League protocol, the teams, when something historic happens, Major League Baseball intervenes and tries to get the fan to give up the ball in exchange for maybe something from the player. And as the story goes, yesterday afternoon, young Hides was offered a variety of things, including an autographed baseball from Pujols, a baseball, and a meet and greet with Pujols. They tried to throw in a jersey, signed jersey, and Hides turned him down. Said he didn't want anything. He wants to keep the ball. He wants to give it to either his brother or his soon-to-be-born son. And the fact that the ball was hit in the stands and whatnot, according to Major League Baseball, it is unable to authenticate the fact that that ball that Hides has in his possession was actually the one Pujols hit out of the park for his 2,000th RBI. I ask you, Kyle, what would you do? Would you throw it? Would you give it back in anticipation, you know, maybe of getting something from Pujols? Would you try to sell it later? In this case, if it's not authenticated, there's not going to be any value for Hides to sell it on the open market. 319-366-1600. What would you do? Would you keep the ball? Or maybe exchange it for something that the player might offer you or Major League Baseball offers you?
I, first of all, thought about this a little bit yesterday, and it it kind of depends on a few things, but the guy with Pujols' ball, first of all, I think it's easy to jump on him and say, people's first instinct, it seems like, especially on Twitter anymore, is to just make fun of everything as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing him.
Oh, no, not you.
He's free to do whatever he wants with the ball.
Right, but he got a lot of criticism I saw, and you know, that's easy to do when you really don't know anything. But then you hear a little bit more, and you know, he wants to give it to, you know, potentially his brother who's a Cardinals fan, or you know, his firstborn son. You know, everybody might have their own reasons, and they might be really good. Yeah. And in this case, I think they're fine. You know, you want to hold on to that sentimental value and pass that along in your family. That's totally fine. But me personally, I would have a hard time if Albert Pujols came to me and said, listen, this ball is extremely important to me. I would really like to have this, you know, for whatever reason. If he wanted that ball back, I would have a hard time saying no. You know, I didn't do anything to earn this ball. I don't deserve this. I just happened to be sitting here and it landed on me. I would have a hard time pretending that I have any right to keep that ball. But then also, like, outside of, you know, sounding like I'm trying to take some moral stand about it, I'm also not, the fact is not lost on me that you're going to get a bunch of signed stuff from Albert Pujols, a bunch of signed stuff from Mike Trout. You know, you're going to get a fine package. So I don't think I would end up leaving the ballpark with that ball.
Number one, I never caught a ball at a minor or a major league ballpark. I don't know what it feels like, let alone a historic ball of that nature. Here's what's interesting is what Albert Pujols had to say after the game, and I wish we had the audio, but I'm going to read the quotes. Pujols was asked, does he want the ball? How does he feel about the situation? He said, quote, I told the guys, just leave it. Just let him have it. I think he can have a great piece of history. We play this game for the fans, too, and if they want to keep it, I think they have every right. I just hope he can enjoy. I wouldn't pay one penny for it. He can have it. I don't play this game so I can pay fans. So he can have that piece of history. It's for the fans that we play for, too. He has the right to keep it. The ball went into the stands.
And that's totally fine. And there you've got a case where the player apparently is not going to be asking for it back, or at least not pressing for it back. And that's fine. Keep it. Give it to your brother.
Bob and a man on the text line says, I'd sell it to the multimillionaire that wants it back. He's a lot better off than me. That's assuming Pujols wanted it, and he doesn't. 0909, I would want a signed Mike Trout jersey.
Think you probably could have got one.
Possibly. By the way, the Tigers also threw in some Miggy Cabrera equipment or whatever, too.
Sure.
But Eli Hyde's turned him down. Also on the text line, Corey in Urbana, I would try and get him to possibly do something for a charity I was involved with, or at least a meet and greet for friends I knew who were a big fan. Kind of depends on how important the ball is to the player.
Yeah, for Corey's head is obviously in a really nice spot there. You know, get some charity work out of it. But I hate to say this, but you know, you're only working with so much leverage there. You know, some signed balls, some signed bats, jerseys, that doesn't require these guys to do anything. They're going to be sitting at their locker for an hour after the game anyway. Not to be too negative or anything, but I don't know how easy it might be to get these guys to just be like, yeah, sure, I'll come do your charity bowling event.
Well, the Pujols is going to receive some memorabilia for his historic home run, including his bat and the Comerica Park bases, which are authenticated by MLB after the game. So the ball doesn't mean that much to Pujols. A guy named Eli Hyde has it. May not be able to sell it for a dime, but he's going to be able to give it to his brother or his firstborn son. I guess maybe everybody lives happily ever after.
Yeah, sounds like it.
My whole point in bringing it up is I ask myself, what would I do? What would I do? Kind of depends on the player. I mean, Pujols is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
Okay? If you get an opportunity to get a signed baseball, maybe a signed jersey and a meet and greet. That's pretty good deal. If I get a one of my favorite Twins, it's you know, hits for the cycle and I catch the home run ball that completed the cycle. Yeah.
Got a White Sox fan.
Some swag, Max.
Ooh.
Some swag, Kepler.
Kepler's your guy?
Oh, he's one of them. He's one of them. I thought it was an interesting situation yesterday. It's not the first time it's happened, nor will it be the last. But, you know, people try to monetize these things. And Hydes apparently is not one of them. Again, the 33-year-old law student who is in possession of the baseball. And Major League Baseball and the two teams did whatever they could to try to retrieve it and were unsuccessful. So perhaps the guy will change his mind. Perhaps something will change in that regard. I don't know.
We just got a few texts on the text line. We had a lifelong, very, very kind environment on the text line today. Lifelong White Sox fan here, but Albert Pujols continues to solidify himself as a player that everyone likes no matter what team they cheer for. And then literally I'm sitting here reading that text in my mind, and at the exact same time we get two more that roll in. I'd give it back for nothing but a handshake. Pujols would never forget you, and at the exact same time I'd give it back and not ask for anything. It's his accomplishment.
Interesting.
Those are the nice guys.
Pujols on record is saying, you know, that this game's for the fans, too.
Yep.
And hopefully that fan that got the baseball is going to enjoy it. So, interesting. Maybe we haven't heard the last of this story, but I thought it was interesting nonetheless. Let's take a real quick break.
We can do that.
And we'll come back and put a wrap on this edition of the Gym Class and the week.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Pros know getting the next job means doing this one right, on time and on budget. Lowe's is here to help by stocking the brands you trust to power through any job, like Hitachi Power Tools, soon to be known as Metabo HPT, and DeWalt. Stop in now during Hitachi Days and get a 3.5-inch 21-degree framing nailer now for just $169. And stay in charge on the job longer with a 4-pack of DeWalt 20-volt max batteries, now just $179. For tools you can trust to get the job done right, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 5/12. See store for details, U.S. only.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
I just want to listen to the rest of the song, Kyle. Is that okay?
It's one of my favorite parts of doing the show with you guys.
Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann for this Friday edition of the Gym Class. Thanks to Jackson, our producer, in this this hour. We will be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Thanks to Jeremiah Davis, his interview with Scott Unash earlier on auto racing. Two guys who really know their business in that regard. Do you have a Tony Romo update? I know people are dying to hear.
I can dial one up
here. He shot 74, finished plus 8 for 36 holes, missed the cut by 10.
Plus 8? Just out of curiosity, he's at plus 8. How far off the lead is that?
The leader is at 16 under par.
Okay.
You can be a really good amateur golfer, but nowhere a PGA professional. Thanks again for listening today. Thanks for the discussion. And we'll be back at you next week. Lastly, happy Mother's Day to all the great mothers out there. Talk to you next week.
At Trek.